सर्वधर्मान् परित्यज्य मामेकं शरणं व्रज.
The miseries of material existence and the most hopeless conditions of life is the best possible opportunity to turn to God.
You're listening to Bare Knuckle Bhakti Shorties on the Bhakti Recovery Podcast with Jiva G, coming at you every Monday with a little spiritual sum. Hello, happy Monday. If it is indeed on a Monday that you're listening to this, if not, happy day. I really wanted to talk about the first, second, and third step. And how that is the foundation of my spiritual program. It's the foundation of my life. It's the foundation of my mental health, my emotional health, and my spiritual health. Step one, we admit we're powerless over our addictions and associated behaviors I put in there, and that our lives had become unmanageable. This is something that if I wasn't in 100% on board with, I don't know if the rest of my program would have been what it is today. Far from perfect, but there is a foundation there. There's finally an adult in the room in my life, and it's called the 12-step program. And it's been the adult in the room ever since I entered the program in 1986, and I got clean and sober in 97, and it was a struggle till then. I didn't want to listen to the adult in the room until I had to listen to the adult in the room or I would die. Oh boy. So coming to believe, let's go back to the first step. Admitting we're powerless, I think a lot of people misunderstand that, and for me it's so important to clarify that. When we admit we're powerless, it doesn't mean we are admitting that we're helpless. And there's a huge difference between being powerless and being helpless. Let me explain that. Let's say there's a tsunami coming, and you know, we heard in the news, generally know when there's a tsunami coming, not always, but we generally know that. The difference between powerless and helpless is this, that if we know that the tsunami is going to come, we have time to pack up and get out the Dodge and get out of the way. If we don't know, then we're a little bit helpless because that'll just happen and there it happened and we're gone. But in the moment that we know it's going to happen, or in the moment that we have power to change it, which is in the Serenity Prayer, which I'll get to, then we can help ourselves. We're powerless over the tsunami. The tsunami is there. It's going to happen. It's going to take whatever it's in its way. And we're not helpless to get out of the way. That's all I'm saying. And I think it's really important to clarify this, because I think a lot of people, not myself included, actually, I'm just talking about what I hear in the program and what I've heard throughout my life, is that a lot of people had a lot of grappling with this because I hadn't hit their bottom. For me, my life really depended on that step. And I had to really challenge that tsunami, be taken by the tsunami, survive the tsunami over and over again to finally realize that. Some people just need that, you know, and I'm one of them. In Krishna consciousness, we say the less intelligent, and I don't know if that's a proper translation. I mean, I don't really care, actually. I'm not attached to that word. I would definitely say that I'm less intelligent when it comes to that thing, you know, when it comes to not getting out of the way of that tsunami. But in when we're putting that in the perspective that there are some people perhaps from other lives or from other experiences that just learn a little quicker and easier. They don't have to hit those horrid bottoms. The second part of the first step is that we admit that our lives had become unmanageable. And it doesn't say we admit, but I'm saying that. We admit that our lives had become unmanageable because I think the admittance of that is so very important. You know, some people perhaps don't have the chaos in front of them as much as others. And I will put that into perspective. For me, it was just so simple. I mean, I was homeless. I lost everything. And I was sick and skinny and unhealthy. And I lost everything, everything material. So that was pretty clear that it was unmanageable. But if we're talking about people who haven't lost all of those things, let's do that on the inside. Like, how many of us can say we manage our emotions very well? How many of us can say we manage our thoughts very well? I don't know if anyone can say that. I know a few people who are good at it, but they're not the complete, you know, uber manager of their thoughts. So I hope that's clear in the first step. You know, admit that we're powerless over addictions and associated behaviors, people, places, and things, and that our lives had become unmanageable. What a freedom that was. What a freedom that was to finally admit defeat, to stop fighting. Because for me, I realized it was a fixed fight. But then where are you? You're like, okay, I'm defeated, but now what? What do I do now? I'm defeated. I've tried everything. I fought the tsunami. I've swam in the tsunami. I've been almost drowned to death by the tsunami. Well, what do I do now? My great thinking got me into this mess in the first place. So how am I going to think my way out of this? How am I going to figure this out? At that point in my life, I couldn't trust myself. I couldn't trust a person, a place, or a thing. So I had to come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And this was the moment for me, saying, okay, I have made a mess of everything. I have messed it up. Here, you take it. Please help me. And when I honestly did that, when I honestly said, okay, I'm not the sane one here. I have gotten myself in this mess in the first place. Where can I get restored to sanity? Who's going to do that? Who's going to help me? And am I going to listen? At that point in early recovery, I was afraid that I wouldn't listen. I was afraid that I wouldn't get it. I was afraid that when that lifeboat came, I was not going to jump on it because I was not going to see it as a lifeboat. I was afraid and mistrusting of myself, of my thoughts. It was a real horrific place to be, actually. But looking back, it was the best place because I was so desperate. So I don't know if I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I said, there better be, and I'm just going to do it because I had no other choice. That's how I felt. And so I did. I came to believe at the very beginnings that this program was going to be the power greater than myself that's going to restore me to sanity. And it was pretty clear because I was sitting in a room full of people who had been doing it for 20 years and clean, you know, and I was sitting in front in a bunch of people, in a room with a bunch of people who were winners, quote unquote, in the program. Anyone who sits in a meeting, even if they're 24 hours clean, is a winner as far as I'm concerned. At that point, you know, I couldn't even get 5 minutes clean and sober. And this was so important, so, so, so important. And going on to step three, that I make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. Whoa. Making that decision, and that's so important to talk about that decision. When we talk about that decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, it means that we're conscious. It means that we make a conscious effort to say, I got myself in this predicament in the first place. I'm going to give it to God. This doesn't say that I'm just going to like sit there and just let God do everything. It means God will do the work too, but I got to bring a shovel. He'll move mountains, but I better bring a shovel. And I understood that very, very quickly. And the reason why they say we make a decision, and I'm going to put in there a conscious decision, because it is so important to know exactly what we're doing. And sometimes for people like me, where it's just like I sometimes dissociate, to really try and be conscious about that decision, which means I set my intentions, right? In yoga speak, we say like, oh, set your intentions for the class or whatever. So we set our intentions in the morning, you know, and say, God, I give my will and my life over to the care of you. And it's such a powerful thing to do, because it's, if we, you know, if we compare that with the first step of admitting that we're powerless, we're just doing that in motion. That's an action. You know, we are powerless, so we're powerless. So we're giving it to God to say, okay, I can't, you can. I can't, you can, I'm powerless. And that's where you're not helpless, because you've just helped yourself by giving it to God. We show up, God takes care of the results. We do the work, God shows up and says, okay, here are the fruits of your labor. Yeah, and you know, how does this all fit in Krishna consciousness? Well, perfectly, doesn't it? I mean, for me it does. You know, Prabhupada said Krishna is like the sun, the never-ending effulgence of the sun, and all we have to do is turn to it. Krishna is Om, is. And I used to say things like, God gives me, you know, what I need. God gives me what I want. God gives me this, God gives me that. And actually, at this point in my life, I just feel like God just gives me what God gives me. And it's really up to me to figure out what I'm going to do with that. And that's so important, not to say, oh, I got a bad deal, or trying to figure out God's will for me. That's really tiring. And sometimes it's nice. Sometimes it's like, oh, you know, this was a blessing from God, or this was a, you know, a curse in like a blessing in disguise. It felt like a curse, but it was a blessing. You know, figuring that all out doesn't really, at this phase right now, I'm just like, oh, just forget it. Just God just gives me what God gives me. And I should really navigate and figure out what that, you know, how I'm going to deal with that, and how I'm going to turn that back over to God and be as unattached and unaffected by it as possible, and learn something from it and move forward, and then give that to others. Yeah. Step 1, 2, and 3, the very foundation of my sanity, the very foundation of my spiritual hygiene, the very foundation of my mental hygiene, my emotional hygiene. And when that's in order, even my physical hygiene gets better. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to share today. And I hope someone got something from it. And I'm really happy to be able to share this with people. And I really hope that, yeah, someone got some from it. So this is the shorty of the Monday. I'm headed back to Germany in 2 days. I'm actually very happy to get back to Germany. It's been wonderful here in India, but and it's been an amazing time. And I would like to also see my son and my daughter and my grandson, and kind of get back to the regular stuff. So I hope you guys have a great week, and see you on Thursday with an interview. Hari Bol. Thanks for listening. I hope you like the Monday Shorties. Don't forget to check out our full-length episodes on Thursdays. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Peace out.
Sarva dharman parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja.
The miseries of material existence and the most hopeless conditions of life is the best possible opportunity to turn to God.